Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 205.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 205. My name is Brendan Lowe. I'm your host as always. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. Honestly, thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. You know, I get emails from people that say they just found the podcast, they're working through it, and they're so grateful. You know, they're so grateful for the podcast. And the podcast's free, obviously. We're doing free lessons here, and they just love it. People love it, and I'm so happy. Literally, that makes me so happy. You know, I really don't consider Jazz Piano School a company or like a brand. It's really just me. It's like, I mean, I do have a team of people helping, obviously Sterling, Trent, some other educators that help me because it's hard for me to do podcasts myself and teach every single week, especially right now because we're right in the middle of getting prepared to launch Jazz Piano School 3.0 with all our upgrades and features. But, you know, it really is just me. It's just putting out information for you to help, to try and teach you about jazz piano, help you learn this amazing craft, help you grow your confidence with structured and organized education. And again, I do this because of my journey, because of the pain I went through, because of what I saw in the jazz education world, because of what I feel when I see certain types of jazz education, because stuff irks me. I'm going to be honest with you, it irks me. it bothers me. And it bothers me to see people love this music so much and not realize that what they are doing is actually hurting them. But they don't know. You really don't know. And that's the worst part. And I'm trying. I try over and over and over to educate people, to tell people my story. I wanted to learn jazz piano just like you. I went out there and I did everything just like you. I went on YouTube. I hired teachers. I bought courses, right? Individual courses. Oh, get better at improv. Get better at block chords. Learn these cool voicings, right? Learn to play like so-and-so. I bought all these individual courses. I took lessons. I studied. I bought books. I have I should send a picture of my jazz piano book library out to everybody, right? I bought books, and none of that really amounted to, you know, I would say the S word here, but I'm not going to. This is kid friendly. To crap, you know, to doo-doo. And you know why? That's because I didn't know at the time. I didn't know what I needed. So what did I do? I went for every single flashy object that I thought I needed in that moment. And I thought and it was cool. And those things are cool. Okay. They're fun. Those are the fun, shiny objects that give us instant gratification. Now in our journey, do we need those? Of course, we need a little bit of that. But you see, educators want to try and make everybody happy. They want to try and make the students happy. I understand that. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to make you happy. I really do. But as a teacher, as you know, if any of you guys out there are parents, I am not, but I know some of you out there. Sometimes, right, saying no to somebody and not giving them what they want is the best thing for them. You hear what I'm saying? So when you're out there, right, and you're looking for these little things, these little bite-sized nuggets, right? Voicings, block chords, altered scale, two-hand voicings. tunes, reading transcriptions, playing transcriptions, practicing licks, practicing lines. Are these things fun? Of course. Are they helping you get better? Maybe a little bit, tiny bit. Are they amounting to significant amounts of progress that you're making in putting you on a structured and organized path to finally achieve what you want? No. No. They're not. And that's unfortunate. And that's not how I approach my education. That's not how I approach jazz piano school. Everything I put out, all the content. Now, we do put out that type of content, but right? And I'll be the first to say, like, that stuff is great. This podcast, all the episodes, they're great. Now, do they don't have the perfect amount, you know, they don't have all the structure, all the organization you need, but they are kind of structured in a manner for the first 150 episodes in kind of like a building process. But the podcast is, you know, a free resource. Our paid resources, what I truly believe in, the true education inside of Jazz Piano School, is a step-by-step path. It's a step-by-step plan. It's organized. It's structured. It's not little bits of random pieces. You know, and again, I'm kind of going on a rant here, but it irks me. When I see people, if free content is different than sold content, right? So like if I put out a product on education, on jazz education, and it's a small kind of bite-sized thing, I'm all about small. Don't get me wrong. I'm all about small and easy and efficient. But that piece of content has to fit in, has to fit into the bigger picture somehow, some way. Because at that point, when you go and you give that person your money, you give that company your money, you get whoever the educator is, you're doing a disservice to yourself, essentially. This is like going to, I want to give you some analogies, okay? This is like going to the junkyard. Let's say you're trying to build a car. Okay, and you're trying to build a Ferrari, and you go to the junkyard, and you have no idea how to build a Ferrari. You're not a mechanic, right? You don't know about cars, but you think it's going to be fun, and it is fun. It's fun for you. So you go to the junkyard, and you're picking out scraps. You don't know about cars. You don't know how cars are built. You don't know the certain components that go into building a car, what comes first, what should come next, what comes last, what you need, what types of parts you need, how they connect, how they shouldn't connect, how they might be actually hurting your car, right? And becoming detrimental to the performance, the ultimate performance in the long run. Now think about that for a second. That in itself is crazy, right? No one would do that. No one would ever do that. Yet in jazz piano, in jazz education, this is what's happening. Right? This is what's happening. You're going to the junkyard and you're not even getting this stuff for free. You're literally paying for different scraps, right? Different parts in a random order that you know are necessary, are needed somewhere, somehow, because you know you need that stuff for the car, right? Clearly you need an engine. Clearly you need a frame. Clearly you need all these different parts. Screws, nuts, bolts, a windshield, trunk, leather, whatever. You know you need this stuff. I'm not saying you don't, but not being a car person, right? Not being someone who has experience in ever doing this ever before, you're the one making the decision on what to get, how to put it together, and when to put it together. So you're buying these little pieces. You're buying the voicings, the course. You're buying the block chords course, you're buying the improv course, you're buying the cool licks course, right? These are like different parts to a car. They're like pieces of the alphabet. You're getting the M. Like, let's say you wanted to learn the alphabet. Essentially, you're paying money to get the Z, the M, the V, the B, the P, right? These letters, you're getting these letters. But you have no idea where they fit in the entire alphabet, right? You have no idea where they fit in the building process of the car. You don't really know how to connect them with anything else, where it's going to lead to, what's going to happen next, and what the plan is. And guess what? If that makes you frustrated and annoyed, trust me. Trust me. I know. It does for me too. It does for me too. Because this is an extremely sensitive area to me and something that you can clearly tell I'm extremely passionate about. Extremely. Because it hurt my progress. It hurt my dream. It withheld my dream, my ambitions, my goals of achieving and playing this amazing music to the potential and desired level of proficiency that I have always wanted since I was a kid, since I first discovered jazz. Think about that. No one's really been more hurt than me, honestly, in following this random mess of education that is jazz piano. And somehow all of us, even myself, took it for granted that this is the way it should be. When people, my teachers, educators, when they give me these little bits of information, hey, check this out, right? Look at this. Copy this line. Copy this lick. Play it. Here, take this transcription home and learn it. Why? Why? Oh, it's good for you. You need to transcribe more. You need to play more. Okay, but why? What is this? What's the purpose of doing this? You just need to do it. Just do it. Right? Here's a course. Come buy it. This is cool. It's on two-hand voicings. Okay, cool. Well, what's next? Where am I at right now? Where am I coming from? What's my next three steps? What's my next four steps? Oh, I don't know. But you need this course, right? You're going to need to use this. You definitely need, you know, George Shearing block chords. You definitely need these improv lines. It never amounts to anything. There's no plan. There's no structure. Most educators don't know the next three steps in your journey. They're going piece by piece by piece based on what makes you happy, based on what's interesting to you. And guess where that leads to? It leads to disappointment, it leads to frustration, it leads to not achieving your dream and not making the progress that you want in this amazing, amazing craft that is jazz piano. Now, I could have shaved off 15 years of sweat, tears, disappointment, wanting to quit by following a plan, by following the plan that I've finally put together for as many people out there that want it. That's what Jazz Piano School is. And I'm sorry I'm going on this rant right now, but when I see certain things, and clearly I've seen something that's ticked me off a little bit over the past week, and I had to talk about it with you guys. And I had to kind of express myself, right? Because, again, in my opinion, as an educator, as a student to this craft who's still learning, who's come up, who's done probably like 100 times over, like gone through as many materials, resources, educators as possible, I've done it all. I've learned from so many people and resources. And I'm trying to tell you guys from the beginning of this podcast that I started that if you continuously spin your wheels in the mud, trying to piece together these random bits of jazz piano information that I know are fun to you. They are fun. I'm not arguing that. They're fun. They're great. You do need them. You need them in your playing to get better, for sure. For sure. I learned these things. I picked them up along the way too. But again, it's not efficient. They're not proven to get you there to the place that you want to be. And it's not a plan, it's not structured, and you're not the teacher, right? By you going around and picking and buying certain courses that are of interest to you, sure, that's fun. Sure, that makes you feel good, probably. But you got to think about the bigger picture. You got to think about the entirety. Take a step back. take a step back and look at why you're doing this. What do you want? What do you want? I know I'm being tough. I'm being stern. I'm being intentional. But it's to help you. It's to help you. Now, some people listen to this and be like, you don't know what you're talking about, man. You know, you have no idea what you get off your high horse, right? That's fine. That's fine. That's no problem. I can't win everybody over. I have no problem with that. But for the people who choose to take my advice, who choose to listen to the guidance that I'm putting out there, you know, you're going to experience things and go through such an easier path with less pain, less work, you know? And it sounds like the magic pill. I know it does, but it's not. It's still tons and tons of work. But you are withholding a gratification in the present moment so that you can get a much more enriching, amazing reward in the long term. Listen to me closely when I say this, okay? Listen closely. You need to play the long game. You need to play the long game. And unfortunately, all the education, a lot of the education out there is not about the long game. It's about how can I satisfy your craving? How can I satisfy the urge that you want in the moment at the expense of your entire educational learning career? One more analogy and then I'll let you go, or we'll get to dive into the lesson. Can you imagine in schools and teachers in schools through grade school, wherever, high school, even college, right? Can you imagine if, God, this is funny. Can you imagine if the teachers, right, if they had a questionnaire and they asked all the kids, I'm talking about second grade, third grade, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, high school. They asked the kids, all right, guys, what do you want to learn? What do you want to learn about today in school? Hands would fly up. They'd shoot up. They'd start giving feedback to the teachers. Oh, we want to learn this. Oh, we want to learn this. And the teachers are like, okay, cool. So they started basing their curriculum based off of everything that the students wanted. Can you imagine that? Just think about that for a sec. That would be a disaster. That would be an ultimate disaster. And it's so funny to me, yet this is the way it happens. Now, not every teacher is kind of like giving in to this type of the pressure, right? And it's more along the lines of like the educators aren't in, like other people around there, you know, other companies and things like that for jazz education. They're not thinking really about the long game. They're not thinking about the long game. They're not thinking about how every single piece of content, every single course that they put out that allows you to exchange money, right? That you may buy 20 bucks a book, 20 bucks, 30 bucks an online course, 40 bucks, right? Every piece of content put out, every product can either help you in your journey or it can be detriment, can hurt you. And again, without structure, without an organized plan, a lot of what you're doing out there and a lot of the content and courses that's being fed to you is not helping you because it's too complex. You're not learning it in the correct order. It's creating holes in your playing. You're essentially swerving in and out. Coming up soon in the next couple education videos, free education videos I'm going to put out, I'm going to show you a picture of the student's map. And you know what it looks like, a student's path? Just picture lots of scribbly lines, circles, scribbly lines all over. It's just like a tornado. That's basically a student's path because they're jumping around from piece to piece to piece with no path, no upward structure of progression, no sequential learning plan. And again, anytime you go and buy a course, anytime you go and buy a book, all that stuff is random information. It's not pieced together because you're the one trying to piece all that stuff together on your own. That's why I don't do that. That's why when I see other educators give out courses like that, it bothers me. It really bothers me because I really do not believe that they're doing the best thing for the student. They're not. They're not. Because, yeah, again, that's going to be fun, you know? Will they make money? For sure. But it's not best for you ever by doing that. Jazz Piano School has been closed for the last 11 months. 11. You know why? So I could build a better foundation with the website. I could solidify my structural plan for students through the curriculum. We have three pillars inside of Jazz Piano School. Through the curriculum, the main course curriculum, success path, our lab area, and our specialty courses. Do you see the structure and organization in those three pillars of education inside of Jazz Piano School? Right? How they come together. And again, I'm not going to get into all of this right now, but they work in tandem, all together, supporting each pillar. And all three of those pillars support you in your jazz piano education journey. It's not just little bits of random information. Now, there is a place for that, but it fits into the bigger picture always, always, without fail. It always fits into your journey, which is harnessed and anchored by our main curriculum success path with our stages, our six stages, essentially like belts in karate, right? You move through the stages, you're moving along the path in a step-by-step sequential order, meaning each piece of jazz piano education that I teach is in the perfect spot for you in the journey. It's not scattered about. You're not learning things out of order. It's in order, meaning that component, that those chords, those voicings, those movements that you learned, that's allowing you to move on to more advanced material that you'll better understand because of what you've done in the past. Now, because of this sequential learning process, guess what this does for you? This allows you to make 10 to 20 times more efficient progress. This allows you to stop wasting time moving all about to different topics, like I did, wasting 15 plus years of my life. Before finally, I developed this plan, this curriculum, this educational process that is Jazz Piano School, that is an extreme jump in education, in jazz piano education. It's my goal to spread this to as many people as possible. Right? So with this curriculum success path, with the step-by-step sequential learning process, you're essentially making optimal amounts of progress, forward movement, and learning in the best way possible. All right. I know. I'll get off my soapbox. But hey, sometimes these things happen. This is exactly what the podcast is for, right? This is what the podcast is for. So anyway, if you want the learning, don't forget, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com. You can, or YouTube. You will get the cut, the edited version of our podcast without me ranting, without me talking, without the soapbox. If you want to listen, if you want to get deep into my mind, into my opinions, into my education, into my philosophies, into my life, into the journey that's taken as I created Jazz Piano School, then this is the podcast, right? You want to listen to the podcast. The podcast is the thing for you to listen to, okay? So I feel good. I really appreciate you listening. Whoever listened to this, hey, thank you. Like, honestly, thank you. And I appreciate it because, you know, sometimes we got to vent. That's what music is for. And I found that talking to you guys through the podcast is a great way to do that as well. And I truly appreciate it. Now, if you have any comments or feedback on this and you want to tell me to go kick stones or you want to agree with me and be like, amen, brother, then go ahead and write them in the comments to this particular podcast. Okay. So I think I'll have dates next week for you. I was about to commit to a date today for the Jazz Piano School 3.0 enrollment period, open enrollment period. And again, we haven't been open since last October 2019. I was going to commit to a date today. I thought it was going to be September 14th, and then I got cold feet. I got nervous, but it should be either September 14th or I'm kicking myself for even saying these dates to you guys right now, or the 21st. It's probably the 14th or the 21st. Open enrollment, Jazz Piano School 3.0. We've been closed for 11 months, upgrading, changing, improving, right? Tearing everything down. We literally released Jazz Piano School 2.0, and there were problems and issues, and we tested them, but then it wasn't right. It wasn't it wasn't satisfying my needs in my dream, in my vision. So what do? We abandoned that. Literally, I put so much time, spent so much money in making 2.0, and then I was like, no, we got to start from scratch. We needed a better foundation. We needed a better plan, a better structure. And now, boom, we got 3.0. And it's going to be so great. It's going to be so awesome. I can't wait to just unleash the beast to the world, put it in schools, put it in studios, high schools, especially now. You know, teachers all over the world, educators, schools, everywhere, they need this. With COVID, coronavirus, they need this education. They need a way to have online jazz piano education. There's a lot of great jazz education in Jazz Piano School, but again, obviously this is targeted to jazz piano, so any jazz piano educators out there will be able to take advantage of this. We're going to get that all set up. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Obviously, home users too, like yourself, anyone listening, they'll be able to use this as well. It's fantastic. I love my job. I love it. I love it. I love helping you guys. I love talking to you guys. I love helping. I love trying to literally change your mind and help you see the matrix that is jazz education. I love to use the analogy. It's like Neo, right? When he first looks at the spoon and he sees the little child bend the spoon and he's like, what's the trick to this? And he doesn't understand. He's like, how do you bend the spoon? And then the kid tells him, right? He goes, a lot of you probably know this line. He goes, the trick is there is no spoon, right? And then once Neo realized that, at the end, he starts to see all the code, right? Behind the walls, he starts to see everything in code. He starts to see the truth. His eyes are open to the truth. And so again, I feel like that's my job, to help you to reiterate over and over and over, verbalize my opinions, my philosophies, what's helped me, right? How Jazz Piano School is helping thousands of people all over the world learn in this new and different, improved way. That's not taking things for granted. It's not putting you in the rat race. It's not just doing what's socially and culturally accepted to learn jazz education. Because guess what? If you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, you're going to keep getting the same result. Listen to me closely. I'm going to say it one more time. If you keep doing the same thing over and over and over, you're going to keep getting the same result. Is it time? Is it time for you to do something different? To make a change? To do something that you've always wanted? To acquire that? To get that progress? To get that feeling of happiness, joy? Because you stop hitting plateaus. You stop hitting walls. You're finally making consistent progress. You're finally able to play tunes the way you've always wanted. You're finally achieving the potential that you dreamed about. That was always there inside of you, yet you just needed that person to show you the way, to give you a path, to give you that plan, to tell you what to do, because you always knew. You always knew. If someone would tell you what to do, you would do it, right? You feel me? If they would just tell you, just tell me what to do, you would do it. Lay it out for me. Because you had questions. Why are we doing this? Why am I learning this? What's next? What do I do after that? What is this leading to? Why am I practicing this? Why am I working on this? Where are the practice exercises? You know, what is this leading to in the future? How do I get to that point? Here's the plan. Here's the path. All right. That's it for me. I'll let you guys dive into this episode. And have a fantastic day. Again, thanks so much for listening. This is going to be a great episode on playing like an orchestra. Playing like an orchestra. Earl Hines, Jelly Roll Morton, Roland Hanna, all these guys were thinking like arrangers, big band arrangers, and they would play exactly like that. It would come out in their playing, in their performance. A lot of times we get sucked into just playing in a standard way. Right-hand melody, left-hand chords. Right-hand improv, left-hand chords. But what if you could take on a new way? What if you could approach the piano as this amazing orchestra? You got 88 keys there. Like, take a look at the piano. It's a honking thing, right? There's so many different ways to approach it. And in this particular podcast episode, you're going to learn how to approach the piano with the respect it deserves, like an orchestra. Each note is like an instrument. And when you combine all of them together in a fully arranged system, your performance, your playing, it's going to skyrocket. It's going to be a game changer. All right? I love this episode. I'll talk to you guys soon. Again, thanks so much. I'll have dates for you next week for open enrollment. Whoever's listening out there, thank you again. I always appreciate your support. Feel free to email me at any time. You can write into our support desk at jazzpianoschool.com/support. And that's the best way to get a hold of me because we always, always, always check our tickets and help people out there as much as possible. Emails, inboxes, they're super, super flooded these days. So that's not the best way to get in touch with me. Always send a ticket and I will respond personally. People are like, Brendan, you're responding? Yeah, I respond personally. Again, this isn't like I'm a person. I run the show. People, you know, they have this like image, I guess, of these different companies. But like, I always want to talk to you. I always want to hear from you. I always want to respond personally and have a personal touch and interaction with every person that I'm giving to. Okay. So enjoy this episode. I'll talk to you guys soon. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. This is Sterling. Welcome to this week's podcast. Today, we're digging back into the Swing Secrets series. And we'll be talking about how to use the piano like an orchestra. Now, this is a technique that great pianists such as Earl Hines, Jelly Roll Morton, and Roland Hanna would use these techniques, you know, going all the way back to the beginning with Jelly Roll, but even some more modern guys like Roland, who played in Thad Jones' band. So I highly recommend checking out those pianists if you haven't before. But as I said, so playing the piano like an orchestra, what exactly does that mean? So here's this thing. As a pianist, we've got, you know, the whole range of the instrument. We've got all 88 keys. And a lot of people tend to stick to areas of the keyboard that they're most familiar with. And that usually centers somewhere kind of in the mid to low range, maybe some of the upper range. But when we talk about using it like an orchestra, we want to use the entire range of the keyboard, all the way from the really high notes to some of the lower notes. And there are a lot of different techniques we can use, which is where the style comes in. But what all three of these pianists have in common is they were inspired by the jazz orchestras that they heard during their times. Obviously, Jelly Roll, there were smaller bands. Not until later did we get into the big band era. But these bands with great arrangers such as Duke Ellington, Count Basie, and others would use a lot of varied techniques to create a unique band sound. And these pianists heard these techniques and said, man, well, I got all these notes. I got 88 keys. Let's see if I can emulate some of that and imitate the sound of the band. So there's an easier way to think about this, and it's an approach to orchestrating on the keyboard. So we have three ranges generally, the low range, the mid range, and the high range. Now we're used to playing a lot of our bass functions, you know, a lot of that lower range bass function, and generally our melodies will lay in the higher range. And then when we have some in the mid-range, that's generally where most of our chords are going to come from, right? Our harmony. But how do we kind of get away from just the usual bass, harmony, melody range? Well, the first thing is to think about playing melodies in a range that we're not used to hearing them, maybe in the lower register. If I was playing a tune like A Train, for example, I could play the melody down here. Right? It would sound pretty interesting down low, too. Or probably going to use my left hand down there, so it can be useful also to get used to playing melodies in your left hand. Now, these are all orchestrational strategies that great composers think of. They think, what instrument can I orchestrate this melody for? If it were lower, it'd probably be something like the trombones. Higher, maybe something like the trumpets or the higher range saxophones like alto or soprano saxophone. And as keyboardists, we have all of these ranges at our disposal within the scope of one instrument. So it's really only limited to our own creativity. Now, if we were playing a full tune, we've been playing the tune A Train so far, if you didn't guess already. The tune Take the A Train by Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn. Both great arrangers in their own right. Now, a pianist like Earl Hines or Roland Hanna might listen to the arrangement of Take the A-Train and say, man, there's some cool ideas in there that I want to steal to orchestrate. So let's see how we might play this tune, maybe the normal way, just to start. So we've got our melody in kind of mid to high range. And note the D-flat in this melody. This melody is often misinterpreted as D natural, but it's actually D flat. The more you know. That's our The More You Know moment for the day. So we've got our melody in the right hand and chords in the left. So I'm using some rootless voicings there. Now we can kind of deviate from that norm of melody and harmony in the middle to maybe a two-hand representation. All right, so now we're adding in some bass, maybe filling out our orchestra, so to speak. We've got our bass and then some low voices in the form of two-hand chords. Adding our melody on top of that. So already we have more of an orchestral sound. We went from this with left hand chords, right hand melody, to a two hand representation using a wider range. So to me, this sounds kind of like a trombone section. Somebody like Roland Hanna or Earl Hines might get an idea from the Duke Ellington arrangement and say, oh yeah, I want to orchestrate these chords like they did in, you know, the second chorus of Take the A-Train with like a trombone sound. So there are other ways we can orchestrate the melody. What if the melody was in the trombone, for example, the tenor range? How would we accompany that? Now we could, instead of using melody in the right hand, we could play some chords. Right? So we can change it up and put chords in the right hand and melody in the left. You don't hear that every day. That would certainly shake things up, and our right hand can start to do some chordal action, maybe similar to how you hear a horn section, maybe some higher trumpets up there playing some chords. I think this is actually a part of the arrangement. Right? So maybe some chords and some flourishes. That whole tone sound. So our right hand can play chords too, and our left hand doesn't always have to be limited to the bass and harmony. You can play the melody sometimes. So far we've talked about how to mix things up to get away from the usual bass, harmony, melody split of the keyboard and switch those roles around to create some interesting sonorities, and some of those roles can overlap. Now, in terms of big band arranging, there are some other techniques that we can talk about, one of which is the shout chorus. Now, in terms of a shout chorus in Take the A-Train, at the end of the melody, there's a place where the entire band plays. And then there's a little solo after. So this is a technique that can use the whole keyboard, right? Right, so both hands can play a line like that, just like a whole big band would, right? And then maybe we could do a little soloing after. And this is, again, like kind of a two-hand representation. So there's actually a really great recording I want to hip you guys to, which is Roland Hanna Live in Perugia. That's P-E-R-U-G-I-A, Live in Perugia. It's about 1978. He plays Take the A-Train. He plays this same tune. And when he gets to the end of his solo, he actually plays the entire shout chorus. Right, and then keeps going from there. But that's a really great recording if you haven't heard it before. Highly recommend it. It's got some great orchestration on the keyboard, some really innovative use of the keyboard. Now, something all these pianists had in common was the use of stride. And Jelly Roll Morton was really the first one to do this. And stride is the ultimate level of orchestration on the keyboard because you've got bass plus harmony plus melody, but the melody is actually in chords. Stride pianists would use these left-hand structures with full chords. Pretty wide stretch, but it really fills out the harmony. And if you're looking for more of a tutorial on stride, there's a podcast that you can reference for that. And we're also coming out with sort of a stride course in the next few months or so. So be on the lookout for that in the JPS system. But for now, I'll just kind of give you a little demonstration of what this stride might sound like. So we've got these left-hand chords. Sound of the, you know, the jumping back and forth, the stride, and in the right hand, so these chords really jump around pretty quick, but we're looking at octaves filled in with a few notes. So we might play this shout chorus like this. Sound, but getting that full stride orchestral sound. So Jelly Roll was really the first one to innovate this sound, coming from ragtime out of Scott Joplin. But pianists like Earl Hines and Roland Hanna really took that and ran with it and innovated in their own way. But here's just an idea of what it might sound like. Take the A-Train, a little bit of a stride rendition for one chorus or so. Or maybe a couple A's. Here we go. Was a whole chorus of A-Train Stride. I think I'm definitely going to go back to that Roland Hanna record because there's still some great things in there that I need to pick up from him. So I highly recommend you guys to check that out. But this was just an idea of how we can use the piano more like an orchestra, thinking orchestrationally, changing the roles from just bass, harmony, and melody to maybe some melody in the right hand with chords, or bass in the left hand with chords, and stealing from the great big bands like Duke Ellington, Count Basie, and you can even take parts of their arrangements like that shout chorus. So I hope this gave you guys some interesting ways to change up your solo playing and some new techniques to reach for. So I hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you next time.